How goes it today? How are ya? My name is Bernie Miklas. Welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube. I do this 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week. Sometimes I do two a day. I'm actually going to get into a routine of doing that, especially when we get into 2025. I'll have a little more time. Anyway, I appreciate all your support and can't thank you enough. Please subscribe if you haven't and get the word out. Give us a look. Give us a try. The word of mouth can do wonders. Very, very happy. So, and I owe a lot to you guys. I really do. A couple preliminaries. If you're wondering about the hat, it's not a Stan Musial hat, although I am like looking for a unique Stan Musial ball cap, something vintage. If you got any leads for me, let me know. Inform the big lug here. I would like that. But so you wonder, well, who's number six? Listen, you're probably sick of me, you know, telling you or reminding you I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, or outside of Baltimore, Maryland, but both of my parents were Baltimore people. And this is Al Kaline, the Hall of Famer who spent every day in his career with the Detroit Tigers, one of the great right fielders ever. In fact, he went right from Southern High School in South Baltimore directly to the Tigers. He never played a day in the minors. Can you imagine that now? And the reason why Al Kaline is really special to me is because not only the hometown connection, but it even goes a little deeper than that. My father really, really liked Al Kaline. We would always go to Detroit Tigers games when they were at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. My dad always wanted to see him play, and so therefore, I always wanted to see him play, right? And another connection, Al Kaline's graduate of Southern High School in Baltimore, and that is where my late great mother, Betty Lee, she graduated from Southern High School. In fact, they were in school at Southern at the same time because they're both born in the same year. So I don't know. There's some sentimental value to the Al Kaline hat. And if I don't know if you were old enough to watch him, if you ever heard about him, just a wonderful guy, just kind and friendly and polite, signed every autograph, never, as far as I know, never rude to anybody, was a good broadcaster, but man, played a long time, 22 seasons, made his debut at age 19. Like I said, never played a day in the minors. 18 All-Star games, over 3,000 hits, 399 homers, over 1,500 RBIs. He received MVP votes in 14 different seasons, finished second or third three times, never won one, but he did just about everything else, including win 10 gold gloves and including one batting title. He was also, I think he was in 18 All-Star games. So anyway. Tip of the cap to Al Kaline. Got a chance to know him a bit and just could not have been a nicer person. So that actually sort of connects him to our number six, Stan the Man. Very similar personalities. I don't think Al Kaline was quite as gregarious as Stan the Man was, but my point is both just really good people who were kind to fans that approached them. And when you have a star in your mind, you know, in a perfect world, they're going to be the kind of person you thought they would be, or that you hoped they would be. And then you get a chance to meet them and, you know, kind of get to know them and observe them. And you're like, you know what? They really are as good as I hoped they would be. Right. And that's increasingly rare. One other thing, if you don't mind, another preliminary thing. Tomorrow night, that'll be Thursday, December the 19th, from 6 to 10, I'm going to be participating in a fundraiser for Big League Impact. That's Adam Wainwright's charity. With my friends from Dealing the Cards, I don't know if you've checked out their YouTube channel, but it's very, very good. One of the gentlemen, Josh Jacobs, is an excellent baseball writer, very thoughtful, very thorough. He doesn't do clickbait, and I enjoy reading him very much, and I respect his work very much. And another gentleman Dealing the Cards YouTube channel is Andrew Wang. And you know Andrew Wang, even if you don't realize you know Andrew Wang. You know those funny thumbnails you see on my videos that kind of lure you in? And Andrew Wang does them for me. And he also makes me laugh because most of those things are hysterical. So if you like those, you would like Andrew Wang. So anyway, let me get this promotion in. So it's going to be tomorrow night, St. Louis time, 6 to 10, at 314 Sports Cards in Olivet. In fact, the address, 9640 Olive Boulevard in Olivet, you know, just very close to I-170. And so we're going to be there live from 6 to 10. I'll give you the guest list here. So you can come say hello in person. Be happy to meet you. I'm going to be there I think I'm going to be there the whole time. But it's also going to be live stream on the Deal in the Cards YouTube channel. So you can actually watch it and you can see all the stuff going on. So I will be there. Josh Jacobs will be there. Sandy McMillan, who's also part of the Deal in the Cards team, will be there. Kareem Hawk, who's great, just absolutely great on Cardinals prospects. He's part of the Deal in the Cards team. He'll be there. Others who are going to join us in person or through streaming are my podcast partner, Seeing Red, Will Leach. He'll be joining us on live stream from his home in Athens, Georgia. Former Cardinals closer Trevor Rosenthal will be with us. Jeff Jones, who does an excellent job of covering the Cardinals for the Belleville paper, will be with us. Derek Gould. I asked him, can you help? And he said, can I help? He said, can I be there? Can I actually come? Yeah. Come on, Derek. And I think we're lining him up at 7:30 to do his formal speaking engagement part in this. Also, Brooke Grimsley, terrific sportscaster. She was when she was working with KMOV, later 101 ESPN. Got a lot of respect for Brooke. I'm glad that she'll be part of this. I think we mentioned just about everybody. If I left anybody out, I truly apologize. So that is 314 Sports Cards, 9640 Olive Boulevard in Olivet, 6 to 10, Thursday night, December 19th. And again, just find the Deal in the Cards YouTube channel and you can watch it or you can watch a recording of it. So anyway, I hope I didn't go on too long with that, but I really want to try to raise some money and just get the word out. I was a little slow to do that. And felt I should do that now. So what do I want to talk about today other than that? Well, this is not exactly like a new topic, and you don't need me to tell you this. I mean, it's something I think we all know by now. We know it really, really well. But one of the Cardinals' biggest problems as in the state that they're in right now is their shortage of star power. And it's really a true thing. It's a real thing. In missing the playoffs in two straight seasons, the Cardinals not only came up short in wins, but they were woefully lacking in entertainment value, charisma, appeal. Mason Wynn is an exception. He was a dynamic player in 2024, and he could evolve into the next big star for your St. Louis Cardinals. He's not there yet, and that's not a slight. I'm just saying, it was his first full seasons last year, and he's showing some star potential, but, you know, he'll if it's meant to be and he can do it, he'll become that star that we all want to see. We all like him a lot. I know that. So you got Mason Wynn, but the present-day Redbirds are the exact opposite of those star-studded teams that did so much winning during the glory days. And the glory days weren't all that long ago. In other words, I ain't talking about the 1940s or the 1960s. I'm talking about during the Bill DeWitt era that began in 1996. And I was going through the list today because of something that I will be talking about a little later in the video, like in terms of wins above replacement and the direct correlation between having a number of players that reach a really good level for wins above replacement in a season and how that impacts your playoff chances. I mean, that's a natural thing, but when you suss it all out in detail, the point really, really bangs home. It really does. But I was looking through this, you know, from 1996, that's when DeWitt and his partners took over through the 2022 season. The Cardinals had stars in abundance. The partial list would include the final season of Ozzie Smith in 1996. Willie McGee played 96 and 97 before he retired. Then you had Mark McGwire, Albert Pujols, Yadier Molina, Jim Edmonds, Scott Rowland, Chris Carpenter, Adam Wainwright, Matt Holliday, Matt Morris, Matt Carpenter, Jason Isringhausen, Larry Walker, Edgar Renteria, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, David Freese, Trevor Rosenthal, Ryan Helsley, Rick Ankiel, Carlos Beltran, Lance Berkman, Lance Lynn, Jason Mott, on and on and on. And then there were the people that were not like all-time stars or even Cardinals Hall of Famers, but a guy like Jeff Supon. The Cardinals don't win the World Series in 2006 without him. Guys like Woody Williams. I mean, I could go so long with this list, but I'm trying to exercise a little discipline here. So, and not just like go with every name that I know. So that's just a partial list. So when I gave you some of the names, and like Rick Ankiel was never an all-star. Rick Ankiel was never the pitcher, because the pitcher that he had the potential to be, and we all know why. And then later blew out his elbow, but then came back as an outfielder and hit 25 home runs in his first year back with the Cardinals after he changed positions. Rick Ankiel will always be one of the most popular Cardinals of my lifetime. The fans just love him. He had great magnetism and star appeal. That's my point. Not a Hall of Famer, but he was a star. In his own way, he was a big star. All right, on and on and on. So here's a question. And this has got to keep Bill DeWitt Jr., Bill DeWitt III, and everybody else maybe awake a little bit at night. Who do you feel compelled to watch now? Who's the magnet that draws you to the ballpark and draws you to, you know, click on the Cardinals broadcasts, no matter how you get those broadcasts? Who is worth the price of admission? Who is worth the investment of your time? Who stokes your passion and your pride? Who makes you feel really good to be a Cardinals fan? Who is someone that just, you know, whatever's going on with the Cardinals, you feel like, well, I want to see how Mason Wynn's doing tonight. I'm going to watch him. Like, other than Wynn being in that area, sort of being in that vicinity now of that being that kind of star power, who else is there? You know, Wilson Contreras could be a St. Louis baseball star, but it seems to me that too many fans don't seem to care for him all that much. So I consider him a star, but my opinion doesn't matter because everyone has their own definition of a star. And I don't think Wilson Contreras, through no fault of his own, has won over a lot of Cardinals fans in a significant way. I don't know whether that's the John Mozeliak taint with him because Mozeliak signed him. I don't know. It's kind of a mystery, though, because this guy plays as hard as you can play. He's intense. He's incredibly competitive. He's got great pride. He's a tough guy. He's really, really outstanding hitter. And you saw the grace and dignity he handled that reprehensible situation in his first season, the first couple months of his first season, when the manager and pitchers threw him under the bus because he wasn't Yadier Molina. He handled that about as perfectly as you can. Anyway, so which player now on this team gets you excited? And I'm not talking about for a moment, for a game here, for a week here, you know, for 10 days here. I mean, just who's that guy that's established that you think is an exciting player, an inspirational player? He motivates you to come to the ballpark or to watch the game. Who makes you really happy on a consistent basis? There's just not a lot of that with the Cardinals. Not a lot of that with Cardinals baseball. Not now, maybe soon, maybe some things will develop. But right now, there is an unmistakable void. And it's really been a frustrating waiting game as we sit and sit and sit and sit and wait and wait and wait and wonder if players like Nolan Gorman, Jordan Walker, Lars Nootbaar, Alec Burleson and others can ever reach their full potential or just be as good as the Cardinals told us they thought they would be. There's been a lot of wishing and hoping, and a lot of that, most of that has turned into disappointment or bitterness, right? But the star power isn't just limited to the entertainment aspect of baseball. The Cardinals don't have enough WAR power either. That's WAR as in wins above replacement. I know that's a dirty expression to some of y'all, but I'm using this because it provides a shorthand way of explaining some of the stuff you need to be a really good team. If you want to be a playoff caliber team that can make a run in October, you better have a good supply of WAR machines on your team. And the Cardinals are in really bad shape on that front. And I will provide the details. So let me pause just for a moment for this brief reminder. Wins above replacement, WAR for shorthand. It's a quick look barometer showing us a player's value. For position players, it takes in offense, defense, base running. It's all encompassing. For pitchers, the WAR calculation is a little more complex, but it's based on innings pitch, runs allowed, other measurables such as ballpark effects, strikeouts, league effects, walks, high leverage situation, things of that nature. WAR is not a perfect measure, and I've never tried to sell it as such, but it's an easy and convenient way to get a snapshot, a quick idea of a player or pitcher's value. And that's why I'm using it for this particular video. And the Cardinals are lagging in WAR. They're lagging in wins above replacement. They're lacking in wins above replacement. It's a glaring change from the past. And WAR is actually a very important indicator, as I will explain starting, well, now. I do have notes. I bring notes every day. Not counting the shortened 2020 season because of COVID, 106 teams have made the playoffs since the start of the 2014 season. These are the full seasons, if you will. So 106 teams have made the playoffs since the start of 2014, the last 10 full seasons. Among the 106 teams, 92% of them had at least one position player with four wins above replacement or higher. And those teams, like I mentioned, they qualified for the playoffs. So 92% of those teams had at least one player, one position player, who was worth four wins or more, right? But if we add in the pitchers, it would go to 95.2% of a player or a position player compiling at least four wins above replacement or higher during the season when his team made the playoff. And in a lot of those instances, because believe me, I studied every year, right? It didn't take as long as I'm probably making it sound. I mean, I wasn't sitting here for 10 hours, but it took some time to research. So let's talk about how this relates to the Cardinals, if we could. Not counting the 2020 season, the Cardinals have made the postseason 16 times, full seasons, since Bill DeWitt purchased the team late in 1995, before 1996. Those 16 Cardinals teams that made the postseason averaged 2.4 position players that had at least 4.4 wins or more, 4.0 WAR. So those teams averaged, let's just round it to 2.5 position players that had at least four wins above replacement. And if we include the pitchers, those 16 playoff teams in the full seasons under Bill DeWitt had an average of 3.25 players or pitchers with four wins above replacement or more. And some of those teams had a bunch of them. Now, I'm going to talk about some of these teams because I think it'll actually bring a smile to your face when you hear some of the names. And there's also a couple of peculiarities as well. So if I could, I'll go through this quickly, right? And we'll bring this back around home. The 2001 Cardinals, who were outstanding, they had four position players and two starting pitchers that had at least four wins above replacement. The pitchers were Matt Morris, Daryl Kyle. The position players were Albert Pujols, Jim Edmonds, J.D. Drew, and Placido Polanco was a four-win player that year. The 2001 Cardinals won 93 games, but they had a tough, tough, tough team waiting for them in the NLDS. The Arizona Diamondbacks, that 2001 team led by Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson, that went on to win the World Series. Cardinals took them to the distance, I believe, to the full five games. And I believe Schilling outpitched Matt Morris. I couldn't hate on the Cardinals for losing that series. That was a tough draw in the first round. The 2009 Cardinals were a war machine. I already used that once. I'll try not to wear it out. They had three position players with more than four wins above replacement: Pujols, Molina, and Matt Holliday. Now, Matt Holliday, because before some of you say, well, wait a minute, he wasn't there all year. They acquired him from Oakland in July. Well, yeah, that's true. I get it. That's why I'm bringing it up. But the point is, that year for Oakland and St. Louis, he had about 5.5 wins above replacement. The point is he was truly the caliber of a five-win player, and the Cardinals had him for not quite half the season, but for a lot of it, and he really did matter. The point is, you know, when you're a five-win player or above, that puts you in that year in a pretty exclusive company, you know, and the value doesn't change. Like, I don't downgrade him because half of it came when he was with the Cardinals. I think it was actually more than half. He was a five-win player that year. On top of that, let me repeat because I was rambling. So they had three position players with more than four wins above replacement: Pujols, Molina, and Matt Holliday. On top of that, the Cardinals had three starting pitchers with more than four wins above replacement. Now, you can probably guess the first two. I'm giving you a few seconds. These should be obvious guys, starting pitchers that were really good, 2009. I'm giving you a few seconds. By now, your answer should be, well, yeah, it was Waino and Carpenter. Yep, right. Give that person a prize out there. I wish I could, right? The third one, and I didn't even realize this until I looked it up today. Remember Joel Pinheiro? He was pretty good. He wasn't a guy that blew you away, but it's pretty good. And he had over four WAR that year. But the 2009 Cardinals did not get far in the postseason despite all that WAR. The Dodgers swept them out of the NLDS in the three games. I always will always feel bad for Matt Holliday losing that line drive in the late afternoon lights on a gray day at Dodger Stadium. And the Cardinals were this close to winning game two, I believe, of the 2009 NLDS. These things happen, you know. Matt Holliday was a great Cardinal and just a wonderful, wonderful guy, too. All right, the 2011 World Series champion Cardinals had four position players with at least 3.9 WAR. See, I cheated a little. The guy with 3.9 WAR was Albert Pujols. For everything he did, that was his last year as a Cardinal. You know what? I'm going to cheat and just give him 4.0 WAR. He was right there anyway. Okay, but at least I'm admitting it. I could have snuck that one by you, but I confess that I cheated a little to give him the benefit of the doubt. Pujols, Molina, Berkman, and Holliday. That's half the lineup. They also had a high-value wins above replacement pitcher in Chris Carpenter in 2006. Who was the best Cardinal team not to make the playoffs? Well, there's a couple ways we could go at this, but the one that I went with is 2010. They probably were the best of the DeWitt-era teams not to make it in terms of just pure talent and value of the players who led them that year. They had five players or pitchers with at least five wins above replacement. Not four, but five. Wainwright, Pujols, Holliday, Molina. Actually, let me take that back. Let me correct myself. They had five players with at least four wins above replacement. Wainwright, Pujols, Holliday, Molina, and drumroll, Colby Rasmus. That team won 86 games, but had some issues at the back end of the rotation, and only four National League teams allowed more runs that year. And I think that was ultimately why they came up short, 86 and 76. Another non-playoff team, the 2008 Cardinals, they had a hard time pitching, but they couldn't overcome the pitching problems. Four hitters combined for 57 wins above replacement. That is a lot for four hitters, okay? Pujols, Molina, Ryan Ludwig, and Troy Glaus. I think my math is right on that, but they came up with huge WAR numbers that year. And I'll double check that. If I'm wrong about that, I'll correct it in the next video. But it was a lot of WAR. The 2019 Cardinals were really odd really odd. And you say, well, why were they odd? Well, they won 91 games. They won the division title. They beat Atlanta in the NLDS. And you know the interesting thing about that team, given the context of what we're talking about today, they had four. They did not have one position player reach the four wins above replacement level. So that's really, really unusual, based on the stuff I told you earlier in the video. But the thing of it is, they had four position players worth about 3.4 wins above replacement or higher. So they kind of spread it around. They didn't have that one galvanizing guy that because Goldie, if you remember in 2009, was not nearly as good as he would be in 2021, 2022, and 2019, I should say. He had that bad first half, and then he was really good after the All-Star break, but he didn't get the four WAR that season. So they had four position players worth at least 3.3 wins above replacement. They also had Jack Flaherty, who was one of the best starting pitchers in baseball that year. But if you don't have a big hitting star, I guess one way to do it, you have a guy that pitches like an ace, and you manage to get not a great wins above replacement total, but a pretty good or good wins above replacement total from, you know, four or five players. And the Cardinals had pretty good WAR from four guys, so they spread it around a little bit. All right. Let's get to more modern times, and I don't have much longer to go. Thanks for staying with me here. The 2021 and 22 Cardinals each made the playoffs, the 21 team as the wild card, and the 22 squad as the division champion. In both years, the Redbirds had three lineup regulars generate at least 4.3 wins above replacement. In 2021, it was Tyler O'Neill, Paul Goldschmidt, and Nolan Arenado. In 2022, it was Arenado, Goldie, and Tommy Edman. So back-to-back years, you have three guys with all that WAR, right? And yet they never won a postseason game. They got beat. They scored one run and got beat by the Dodgers in the 2021 wildcard game. And then in 2022, they had a 2-0 lead, taking it to the ninth against the Phillies in the wild card round, which was best of three. Ryan Helsley coming off that broken or damaged finger from that final regular season series. He came in, he didn't have it. He was kind of hyperventilating. I mean, he was so geeked up, and clearly the ball didn't feel comfortable in his hand. And as we've talked about a bunch of times, Ollie Marmol sat there and watched it instead of intervening quickly. And the game blew up, and the Cardinals couldn't recover emotionally, mentally, you name it, to put up much of a fight the next night against Aaron Nola and the Phillies. So the Cardinals had a lot of offense in those two seasons, a lot of offense, a lot of WAR from their position players, but didn't win a single postseason game. This is when I want to get back to a couple things real quick. When I mention WAR, some of you may say, well, wait a minute, I thought Mason Wynn had more than four wins above replacement last year. Yeah, he did. There's the Baseball Reference version and the Fangraphs version. The Baseball Reference version did have Mason Wynn over four. Fangraphs did not. He still had a good WAR, but he wasn't over four. That said, I use the Baseball Reference version I use the Fangraphs version of WAR for this research over Baseball Reference. I wish I could make up my mind on which one to use, and people like me are split on that. I won't go into the explanation now between the two of them. You can find that out seriously, easily by Googling. What's the difference between Baseball Reference WAR and Fangraphs WAR? And seriously, you will get a good explanation for that. Even if we give Mason Wynn four plus wins above replacement in 2022 or 2024, pardon me, it doesn't change the more important point. Over the last two seasons, the Cardinals didn't have nearly enough star caliber players or starting pitchers. They didn't have, based on Fangraphs, they didn't have one starting pitcher or one position player get more than four WAR, not even get to four WAR. And over those 2 years, there were over 100 players in the major leagues, either position players or pitchers, that got to four WAR or higher in wins above replacement. Over 100, and the Cardinals didn't have any of them. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? If you don't have star power, you don't have enough high-value players, what you're going to do is lose 91 games 1 year, especially because of the pitching, and then come back the next year and you close late and you get over 500, but fell out of the playoff race sometime in August. So when you don't have anybody for 2 years that gets to a certain level where it's considered good in wins above replacement, if I may, this is predictable, by the way, what I'm about to do, but what the heck? A fella needs material, right? I would ask the question based from an old Edwin Starr song, a hit in 1970, WAR, what is it good for? Well, when we're talking about the Cardinals in 23-24, the answer is, as Edwin Starr shouted in the song, absolutely nothing. Because the Cardinals had nobody that had at least four WAR over those two seasons. They did not have enough talent to produce the team in terms of a playoff caliber team or these players all-star caliber level. And I'm not saying they didn't have good players, but they didn't get to that magical four wins above replacement level. So WAR, what was it good for? What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Not for the 2023 and 24 Cardinals. I shouldn't laugh at my own jokes because, again, that was kind of a corny and overused joke as it is. So if anything, I should deduct points from my score for this video. That's what I have, however, and I hope that you didn't mind too much all the use of WAR, but it was only because it was just a good, quick hit snapshot look at one metric that can tell you, do you have enough what it takes to get in the playoffs and then go on a run? Do you have enough? A lot of those other Cardinals teams we talked about, they had plenty of it the last 2 years. And really, going back a little bit if you want to, didn't have quite enough. Anyway, have a great day, and we'll be back. I don't think I'll be back later in the afternoon unless there's something happening. I do want to do something about the NL Central, but I'm going to sign off for now, and I appreciate your support. And I appreciate you for putting up with me. Thank you very much.